White attitude was removed from their minds by the religion of Islam. This is important, okay? I have never before seen sincere and true brotherhood practiced by all colors together, irrespective of their color. And this is the main difference between Malcolm X before converting to Islam and after that, because before that he was after the rights of the minorities, I mean the colored people, the black community or something like that. But he said, when I got to Mecca, I traveled and I got Hajj pilgrimage, then I could understood that this has been the religion of Islam who could save us all in America from racism, you know, color problem and something like that.
Brother, the beautiful point that you're mentioning, let me even expand it further. What is the population of Arab Muslims? They consist of around 20 to 25%.
Yes.
Islam, the birthplace of Islam was where? Hijaz, Arabia.
Yes.
But majority of the Muslims around the world are non-Arabs. The reason? Islam doesn't consider your color, your race, your origin, your name even. Islam considers your goodness, your faith, your justice, your inner self, right? Further than that, let's look at a very important claim, a very questionable claim and a contradictory one. Islam was spread by sword. You know, they say, okay, Islam, when it came to the Spain, when it came to, yes, but we're not going to deny that there were wars, and there were some unjust wars by some unjust rulers who claimed to be Muslims. That's of course true. Likewise, the same unjust rulers who killed non-Muslims also killed Muslims themselves. Like many of these rulers, Yazid himself, who has claimed kind of that he had wars against Rome and this and that, he was the same person who attacked the birthplace of Islam, Kaaba. He was the same person who also attacked the grandson of the noble prophet.
Yes.
So we first of all need to distinguish between the Muslim and Islam. Sometimes people who claim to be Muslim not necessarily are Islamic, right? Now further than that, if a religion is necessarily spread only through sword, first of all, you have to look at the Crusaders. They had much more crimes, bigger crimes, unimaginable crimes. That's why they themselves now call it Dark Ages.
Yes.
Than Muslims can ever think of. Second of all, if a religion was spread by sword, why don't we all have the Mongolian religion now? Because Mongolia was expanded to so many countries after they conquered. But none of these countries that they, even Iran, a very great portion of Iran was conquered by Mongolia, by Genghis Khan. Why weren't they following the same religion as Genghis Khan?
Yes.
Because it's not necessarily...
That's right.
This faith comes from the heart.
Fitra. Yes. That's right.
It's from the fitra. Oh. It's not through sword. No matter how much you force it. There is also a joke. They were talking about how after the revolution, the independence of India, there was a wall that the people would publicly urinate, which was displeasing for the Britishers. Mm-hmm. So they, for 600 years of their rule, they banned public urination on that wall.
Mm-hmm.
600 years. You know how many generations is that?
Okay.
After the Britishers left, the day after, you see the people standing up back again urinating in the same place. Why? I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm trying to say that with force, there is no culture or religion you can change.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Britishers ruled India for so many years. How many Christians do we have in India? Very few. The percentage is almost negligible.
Yes.
It's not about, it's not with sword. A religion can only be done through a voluntary faith. That's it. And that's why even after the conquerors, you'll see many people after the conqueror, some of the Muslim kings, when they conquered the lands, voluntarily they would accept Islam, not through force.
Okay, that's right. Sheikh Rouhani, so Islam is the religion of fitra. It is directing your fitra. Its slogans are really applicable in today's world in the 21st century. The people are looking for justice. The people are looking for their rights.
Yeah, of course. The people are seeking for all of these things.
Yes.
But I think, as I mentioned before, the very important point that should be taken into consideration while talking about Islam is that I think spirituality that we have in Islam, or morality or moral teachings, spiritual teachings, because, you know, according to the Muslim philosophers, if you look at this issue from the Islamic philosophic perspective, they are of the view that we are created in a way that spiritual or immaterial dimension of our existence is much more important as compared to this bodily and earthly life. Because earthly life may be like 70, 80, or at most, for example, 100 years.
Yes.
But that immaterial or non-physical life that starts with the death, that's another phase of life, that would be like unlimited or infinite kind of life, in which we can achieve infinite kind of pleasures, enjoyment, maybe knowledge, power, whatever.
Yes.
So the heaven is there.
Yes.
At the same time, hell is there because we might get punished for, let's say, everlasting kind of punishment. So that is why I think this dimension of human being is very much important, that is dealt by Muslim philosophers in a correct way, in a true way.
Yes.
But with Western philosophers, because I've studied about these kind of issues from the Western philosophical perspectives as well, they finally cannot find any proper answer to this question that, okay, what is that immaterial aspect of the human being's life or existence? They say that, okay, since we do not understand completely and thoroughly the existence or the characteristics or, let's say, the nature of that life, let's forget about that.
Okay.
Let's ignore. You know, for example, these positivists, positivism school says that, okay, all the things that is sensory things, we do agree, we confirm that they exist, that is true. But if something goes beyond it, since we do not understand, since we are not able to achieve a thoroughly a comprehensive knowledge about that, that's why let's forget about that. Let's ignore it. Let's neglect it. So this ignorance or this ignoring of that phase of existence of life caused lots of problems for their people, for their societies.
Yes.
Because finally, at the end of the day, they would ask, okay, that kind of phase of life, that kind of transcendent, let's say, a dimension of our existence, does it exist or not? If it exists, so we have to think about that. We have to find something to solve these kind of problems.
Okay.
If we ignore, by ignoring, nothing can be solved, you know? That's why in most of the modern schools of thought, they ignore.
Mm-hmm.
They say, okay, maybe these kind of things, for example, this William James, the great pragmatist philosopher of the West, he says that, okay, if the religious, let's say, teachings and doctrines, if they are something useful and helpful according to the pragmatic principles, so we do accept.
Yes.
If it is not useful, then we do not accept.
Yes.
But the question is that does it exist or not? You know, does this phase of life, does this phase of, let's say, existence, if it does exist, so we should not talk about the being it beneficial or not. We should understand it.
Yes.
We should plan how to live in this world.
Yes.
Not to lose that, let's say, unlimited or infinite kind of pleasures and achievements.
Yes. And
this is the point. Yes. But Islam deals with this kind of phase or phase of life. And that's why I think it's very much interesting for the modern, let's say, people, for the postmodern people in the West, that they are seeking after this kind of, let's say, spirituality in their own lives.
And now when the World Cup was held in Qatar as a Muslim land, you know, according to the statistics and according to the reports I've been reading, you know, on different news channels and the websites, the people looks at Islam is somehow different now. Mm-hmm. Because they see now we are in a Muslim land. The Nabawi ahadiths are in the wall here and there about social justice, about social life, about the sportsmanship and this and that. Okay, so let's not drink and let's be 1 month sober. Okay, so and this would be more harmonious with the we can't say champions and chivalry, and the sportsmanship, you know, spirit of the society. Let's not smoke. Or for example, this and that. I think this also has changed the look at the people into the world and somehow decreasing the rate of Islamophobia in the world, which was caused by some of the extremist groups, unfortunately, I think, which was plotted against the religion and the true religion of Islam. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when a non-Muslim wants to be more familiar with Islam, what concepts do you think can be more attractive for him or her?
With regards to concepts that are very important, I think the best thing to do, because every person has their own personal life and they see things. Some persons see something important and the others don't see that as important as the same person. So the best thing to do to understand which part of Islam is valuable for them is to do their own research.
Uh-huh.
independent research. It's very important, because if you have a biased research, then definitely you're going to fall into the same trap that many others have done. And you'll fall into, rather, instead of being knowledgeable Islam, you'll eventually fall being following, you'll be following the biased people eventually, right? So if you did independent research for the same topics that you're interested in, then it's going to be very clear for you. But the values, I think, personally, that are very important for non-Muslims that exist in Islam are the woman's right.
Yes.
And many see this as unequal in Islam, but Islam is not after equality, it's after justice. Right? Yes. We can't give the fish and the monkey the same examination.
The concept of adala and musawat.
Exactly. That's right? So equality and justice is completely different. Yes, yes, yes. But justice in Islam that is done to male and female, the rights of women, if you look at the beauty, a man came to the noble prophet and then he was crying and crying and he says, a prophet asked him, what happened? He says, I'm a Muslim now, but I regret one thing. During my age of ignorance, he says, what was it? He says, I was blessed with daughters only. And then every time a daughter would be born, I would have buried her alive.
Yes.
Until eventually the last daughter, my wife hid her from me. Mm-hmm. And she said it was a miscarriage. But then after a while, I realized that she was alive. Yeah. And then I saw that she was a shame for my family. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw her and I realized that she's grown, I carried her to a field. And then I started digging a grave for her. She was thinking that I was playing with her, but then I kept digging until I put her in the grave. She still think that she was playing. So I put the mud while I was crying. I was, you know, enclosing her into that grave. You know, so barbaric it was. And then while he was enclosing, he was crying. The child realized, and now she was seeking refuge in the father's hand. But he didn't do that. He eventually killed her.
Wow.
Right? This is where Islam brought, this is the barbarism that Islam annihilated. Mm-hmm. And look at how the Prophet behaved with his daughter. When she would come, he would stand up, kiss her hands, give her his own seat to her.
Of course.
Such, you see, this justice that Islam brought, this respect to women that Islam brought, I think is one of the most important aspects. And that's why many people are becoming irreligious. Not talking Christianity, I'm talking generally. Irreligious from Christianity, from Judaism, from Hinduism, and from any form of religion. Why? Because they saw that in their own religion, women are not respected. The Dark Ages, women, Christians, would have perceived women as animals. When Islam brings forth this concept of woman being a pearl of the family, the center, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to introduce the family of Ahlul Bayt, He will say, Fatima wa abuha wa ba'luha wa banuha. Fatima, her father, the center of the family became Fatima. When we see this, how valuable, how the value that Islam gives to, you know, a person, then we realize how important Islam is and how compatible it is to the nature. I keep repeating this because it's, I think, the key concept over here in the growth of Islam, how compatible it is with the instinct nature of mankind.
That's all right. During the opening ceremony of the World Cup, Morgan Freeman and Ghanam Al-Muftah shared a moment of the reflection on the division in the world and how Islam's message is a message of unity and understanding, very much referring to Ayah 13 of Surah Hujarat, which was written at the opening, we can say, of the World Cup. And nowadays, when the people are in Qatar, you know, experiencing Islam, the call to prayer, that how, for example, this Salat is doing in congregation, see how much unity can be, we can say, achieved through the religion of Islam. And how friendship is emphasized in the religion of Islam, combined with the true sense of spirituality. That's why religion of Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. And hope, we can say that it will continue and go on in the following generations of the people with true studying and understanding. And not blind imitation, as you said, through understanding and research. The people can be more familiar with the religion of Islam through authentic resources. It was very kind of you, Brother Muhammad and Sheikh
Rouhani,
for a nice elaboration regarding the growth of Islam in the world. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website, parstoday.com/en/call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Thank you.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept our يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is the show A to Z. For today's program, Brother Muhammad is going to talk to us about Islamic education. Stay tuned.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's discussion with regards to Islamic education, we would like to look at an important part of the nurturing process of Islamic values, and that is to nurture an important part of worship, which is Salah. Importance of Salah is indeed clear for all Muslims, as it is considered to be one of the most important acts of worship in Islam, and it is also the most regular act of worship. When we look at this important question, important aspect of nurturing Salah in the lives of our children, we as parents and educators need to keep a few principles in mind. One of those important principles is to keep away from extremism and overburdening the children with different aspects of the process. Now, on one hand, Salah constitutes of the wajib and the obligatory parts And it also includes some of the recommended acts. And it also has etiquettes and other acts that are considered to be outside the act of Salah, but they are considered to be important addendums, important additions to the process of worship associated with Salah. For example, the prayers and the du'as that are recommended for after Salah. Or, for example, the act of praying Salah in congregation, in jama'ah, and so on. We find when it comes to nurturing Salah, for children especially, it is very important that we do not perform any kind of act that might be considered extreme and might overrun the child's capacity. So on one hand, we find within the Islamic traditions, the Holy Prophet once addressed Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he told him, "O Ali, do not make the worship of your Lord difficult on yourself, that indeed extremism and excess in an act leads to a great deal of difficulty and loss in the end." Likewise, we find when it comes to Salah, children praying Furada Salah, if that is easier on them, it is better. But also keeping in mind that Furada Salah allows the children to pray at their own speed. On the other hand, we find that we should not overburden the children with praying the Nawafil, the Salats that are Mustahab, and those that are beyond the obligatory five prayers. And indeed, the children first need to get used to the basic aspects of Salah. And these mustahabbat can be slowly and gradually introduced into the lives of the children, such that it increases in their love for Salah, and they themselves are considered to have that preparedness and readiness to increase their amount of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So indeed, as parents, it's very important for us to keep away from excess, from pressuring our children too much, and indeed keeping to the basics, to the wajibat at first, and slowly and gradually introducing the mustahabbat as the children grow and their potentials flower and their capacities grow. That is a good time to introduce other aspects and etiquettes of Salah. I hope you enjoyed today's discussion. Until next time, fi amanillah, under God's protection.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.ir.
This is the teacher. A radio documentary on the life of prominent martyrs of Islam.
کمتر وقتی است که من به یاد جناب آقای قاسم سلیمانی باشم و دعا نکنم.
Most of the time in my prayers, I remember General Qasim Soleimani. He was very dear to me.
We as the soldiers of Islam have to look at great role models in our lives.
Although our hearts have been set on fire, and although we are mourning this great loss, we know that martyrdom in the way of Allah was your biggest wish.
Today's a special story, the life and character of Shahid General Haj Qasim Soleimani. Dear listeners, as most of you know, General Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani, who was the commander of the Quds Force of IRGC, played a key role in the developments of West Asia, especially in fighting the Takfiri West-backed terrorists as well as the Zionist regime of Israel. Shortly before his martyrdom, Shahid Soleimani, in a documentary, explained in full detail how he and the Quds Force helped Hezbollah of Lebanon to defeat the Israeli regime in the 2006 33-day war between Hezbollah and the Israeli regime. He said that the Israelis wanted to launch a surprise attack against Hezbollah in order to put an end to it. They were self-assured that nearly 200,000 American armed forces could back them up and do not let Hezbollah attack them. As a matter of fact, the Israelis wanted to completely change the demographic of Lebanon. Shahid General Haj Qasim Soleimani said that the goal of Israel was to occupy Lebanon once again and completely destroy Hezbollah under the pretext of saving two of its captives. However, thanks to the intelligence operations of the Quds Force and the vigilance of Hezbollah, they were able to predict this attack of the Israelis, and Hezbollah was fully prepared to defend itself and its country, Lebanon. And now Ayatollah Javadi Amuli talks about the personality of Shahid Qasim Soleimani.
کمتر وقتی است که من به یاد جناب آقای قاسم سلیمانی باشم و دعا نکنم. اما خیلی به شما عزیزه.
همه ما وامدار شهادت و مجاهدت این برادر عزیز.
Most of the time in my prayers I remember General Qasim Soleimani. He was very dear to me. We are all indebted to this martyred brother of ours, Shahid General Qasim Soleimani. Last year, he came to the city of Qom to visit the religious authorities here. He had a meeting with me, too. When our meeting was finished and the other people left the room, he asked me to do something for him. He took a piece of cloth out of his pocket and said, "This is a piece of my shroud. Would you sign it for me and testify that I was a faithful person?" I said, "I am not qualified enough to testify this for you. Who am I to do so?" Now he asked me to testify for himself, who was a righteous person. He served his whole life for the cause of Islam. He safeguarded us. He protected us against the enemies. He saved our faces and families. He protected our religion, our Islamic system. He served Imam Khomeini and our current leader. Finally, I accepted and signed his shroud.
گفتیم خدایا تو شاهدی. گفتیم هو شاهد. خدایا تو شاهدی این عزیز ما.
I wrote on that piece of cloth, Huwa Shahid, which means, O Allah, I testify that this dear man has served you his whole life. And now you can see that by being martyred on the path of Allah and Islam, he is now in the presence of Allah, and he will be resurrected with the prophets of Allah, the Ahlul Bayt, and the martyrs of Karbala, especially Imam al-Hussein.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. Shahid General Haj Qasem Soleimani disclosed many secrets about the 33-day war between Hezbollah and the Israeli regime. He said that Shahid Imad Mughniyeh was an extremely influential figure in Hezbollah's victory against the Israelis. One of the amazing things that Shahid Imad Mughniyeh did was that he was able to target Israeli Hummers in Israeli soil and take the ones in it captive. In this way, he was able to capture many Israelis and bring them to Lebanon. Shahid Soleimani went on to say that Shahid Mughniyeh was careful that the ones inside the vehicles would not die, but rather only get wounded so that they could take them captive. Shahid Haj Qasem Soleimani compared Shahid Mughniyeh to Malik al-Ashtar after he was martyred. He said that we had the same feeling as Imam Ali did when Malik al-Ashtar was martyred. Shahid Qasem Soleimani praised Hezbollah as a very prudent and powerful force that before conducting any operation, they would make the necessary preparements. For example, when they took Israelis captive, they were fully prepared for the Israelis' response. This was one of the keys to the victory of Hezbollah. This is the voice of Shahid Qasem Soleimani along with the English translation of his words.
بلی ما در زندگی پاسداری خودمون باید به الگوهای بزرگ نگاه کنیم.
We as the soldiers of Islam have to look at great role models in our lives. Our life will end one day whether we are in the war fronts or our houses. This will come fast. Even if we live our whole life in the best hotel, or even we are the head of the world, we will die one day. Therefore, selecting the right path in our life is very important.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. Shahid Haj Qasem Soleimani, in a documentary, spoke about his role and presence in the 33-day war between Hezbollah and Israel. He said he was in Syria and was unable to cross the Syria-Lebanon borders as it was constantly under aerial attack. However, Shahid Mughniyeh knew a way which was safe. Therefore, he went to Syria and took Shahid Soleimani to Lebanon from that secret passageway. Haj Qasem made a report to the Supreme Leader. The situation was critical in Lebanon. Buildings were being leveled by the Israeli attacks. There were villages that were entirely occupied by Shias and were completely separate from Christian and Sunni villages. Therefore, the Israelis freely attacked those villages and brutally killed many innocent people. Nevertheless, the Supreme Leader of Iran assured Haj Qasem and all the members of Hezbollah and Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah that you will definitely achieve victory as you are in the path of truth. Then, the Supreme Leader told them to recite the supplication of Joshan Sagir, which means the supplication of the lesser armor. Ultimately, thanks to Hezbollah's strong faith in God and the Ahlul Bayt, at night, while the Israeli forces were conducting a heliborne operation, one of the Hezbollah commanders fired a rocket that landed on the helicopter and killed all the Israelis in that helicopter. The Israelis thought Hezbollah had acquired sophisticated homing missiles. Therefore, they quickly ended the war and demanded ceasefire. If it weren't for the well-calculated plans of the Quds Force of IRGC and Shahid Haj Qasem Soleimani, Hezbollah wouldn't have achieved such a victory. Haj Qasem Soleimani was martyred on January 3, 2020 by the terrorist Zionist regime of America. May Allah bless Shahid Soleimani and further elevate his high ranks. Now we invite you to listen to Sister Zainab talking about Shahid General Qasem Soleimani.
I saw nothing but beauty. This is the famous sentence of Lady Zainab after the tragedy of Karbala. After witnessing all the men of her family, her sons, her brothers and his loyal companions being brutally killed in the way of Allah, Lady Zainab said, "I saw nothing but beauty." And today, General Soleimani, we saw nothing but beauty. You lived such a beautiful life and gave your life in the way of Allah so beautifully. You were martyred in the way of Allah by the hands of the Yazid of our time. You spent many years safeguarding the shrine of Lady Zainab in Syria, and if it weren't for your braveries and sacrifices, the enemy would have demolished Lady Zainab's shrine as soon as it could. If it weren't for your braveries and sacrifices, we would be fighting ISIS inside the cities of Iran today. You are a hero for all Iranians and Muslim youth all over the world. Although our hearts have been set on fire, and although we are mourning this great loss, we know that martyrdom in the way of Allah was your biggest wish. And now that you have reached this high rank, the rank of being a martyr in the way of Allah, we ask you to pray for us so that we can live and die like you. A life and death full of purity and honor.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of The Teacher, which was about the great martyr of Islam, Shahid Haj Qasim Soleimani. Please don't forget to log on to our website, which is www.parsetoday.com. And if you have any questions or suggestions, send an email to englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرج.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And I'm very happy to say that some of the students of Sevier International School are here with us in this session, the same as our previous session. So, Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Hussein Ruhullah, and Hassan Nasrullah, and Brother Fawad Haider. Welcome, everyone. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, Fawad?
Fine. How are you, sir?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are
good?
You?
Good? Alhamdulillah. Okay, Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
That's great. Thank you. And Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. So everyone is fine. We hope that, dear listeners, you are as well fine and healthy. So today, the same as our previous sessions, inshallah, we'll have one of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 184, and on page 28 of the Quran. Brothers and sisters, please hold your Quran. Turn to page 28. Ayah 184. So we'll have a short explanation. First, we'll have a recitation altogether, then an explanation, then we'll go to the Tajweed rules, the important part of our classes. So before we start, everyone, let's all together listen to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ayyaman معدودات فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وَأَن تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ.
That was great. Now we will have, inshallah, a recitation all together, okay? Listen and repeat.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
أياما معدودات
أياما معدودات
فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر
فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر
وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين
وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين
فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون أحسنت. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. So, guys, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ In the previous ayah, Allah Almighty said that fasting has been prescribed upon you. It has been made wajib, okay? Yes?
Yes.
So, how many days? أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ It's not the whole year, Fawad, okay? That you should be scared. Oh, God, fasting is compulsory and I have to do fasting, okay? The whole year? No. أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ A number of days, a couple of days, okay? 30 days. That's not too much. 30 days sometimes, 29 days, okay? Depends on the month, okay? I mean the month, no, actually, it depends on the moon, okay? How it is it seen by people or not, okay? So, you know. أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا But if any of you is sick, for example... or someone is on a journey, okay? فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ So they do not have to do fasting, okay? Those who are sick, and not like sick, I'm headache, okay? Oh, my tooth. I have toothache, for example. Something, a sickness, okay, an illness, okay, that you can, of course, you can do fasting as well, and you can tolerate the pain as well, okay? But if it's a kind of illness, okay, that you cannot, and the doctor has prescribed you that don't do fasting, for example, you have... stomach problem, okay? Yes? Something like that? So, of course, you don't have to. Alright? And, or for example, you are on a trip, on a journey, okay? And it's just a journey. You're not going to, for example, you have a journey, for example, to you go to another country and you stay there for like 6 months. It's not a journey. Mm-hmm. So, you have time there. So, you do fasting. Okay? So, there are rules, okay, that you have to study and Rasalatul Ahkam, okay, Tawdihul Masail. Inshallah, any of the scholars that you follow, okay, you do taqleed. So, based on his opinion, you have to actually what? Act, okay? Apply the rules. Now, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ So, when you cannot do it in the month of Ramadan, okay, so the other days, okay, you have to, when you get better, when you came back from your trip, okay, you have to compensate. Understood? You have to do the fasting. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامٌ مِسْكِينٌ So the rules are being mentioned here, okay, that we are not going to talk about them because we are running out of time. So, guys, the interpretations, the tafasir, the explanations of these verses, okay, are very important. And they're also mentioned in the Tawzih al-Masail as well, in the Tafasir books as well. So based on ahadith, inshallah, you can learn them. All right?
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, let's everyone go to the Tajweed rules, the second part of the third part of our class. Inshallah, we'll have a review of our Tajweed rules, inshallah, okay? Then we'll finish the class. Are you ready?
Yes.
So, let me read it once. أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ Okay. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٍ فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ You stop here. وَأَنْ تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ Now, let's pay attention to the Tajweed rules. أَيَّامًا Pay attention to that tashdeed, okay? The shadda on ya. Sometimes you say أَيَّامًا That's right, wrong, okay? أَيَّامًا أَيَّا All right? أَيَّامًا تَنْوِين plus ميم. Next word starts with ميم. تَنْوِين plus ميم.
إِدْغَام.
إِدْغَام. Merge the sound of تَنْوِين into ميم, okay? And there will be double ميم. أَيَّامًا مَمْ إِدْغَام also we have, okay? You have three ميم actually here. One ميم ما. The تَنْوِين is merged with the next ميم. Double ميم, okay? The next ميم is there. ما. Three ميم you have. Triple ميم, okay?
Yeah.
So غُنَّ is also there. أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ All right? أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ Jim tells you that...
It is jaiz.
It is jaiz, yes. Jim comes from the word jaiz. It's jaiz for you to stop or continue. No problem. Okay? You can stop or continue. فَمَنْ كَانَ If you stop, so you do not read, apply the rule of إِخْفَى with the تَنْوِين مَعْدُودَ تِن تَنْوِين then فَى, yes? If you continue, if you join them مَعْدُودَ تِن إِخْفَى hide the sound of تَنْوِين تِن as if it's half noon, for example, hidden noon فَمَنْ كَانَ نُون ساكين plus Kaf. Next word starts with kaf. Ikhfa, mashallah. But you have to apply the rule ikhfa in a way that the listener kind of understands that, yeah, the next word is kaf. Faman kana. Minkum, again the same. Noon sakin plus kaf, again the same rule. Ikhfa. Hide the sound of noon. Faman kana minkum. Maril minkum. Noon ميم ساكين plus ميم فواد knows better ها
إدغام مثلين
إدغام مثلين yes noon ميم ساكين plus ميم إدغام مثلين منكم with غنة as well مريضا تنوين again مريضا تنوين plus next word starts with
همزة
همزة so همزة is amongst the throat letters همزة ها حا خا عين غين these six letters okay ها as well ها So, if these six letters come after, one of these six letters appear after the tanween or nun sakin, the rule?
Idhar
is applied, which means?
No rule.
Just normally read. Mariyadun el, the same.
Yeah.
The same as, for example, as if you don't know any rule. Mariyadun el ala safarin, safarin, tanween plus. Next word starts with fa. سَفَرِن fa. So, تَنْوِين plus fa. It should be easy. إِخْفَى. Hide the sound of noon. سَفَرِن فَعِدَّةٌ عِدَّةٌ تَنْوِين plus ميم. عِدَّةٌ plus ميم. What rule is applied?
إِدْغَام,
right? فَعِدَّةٌ عِدَّةٌ with غُنَّة. Min, nun sakin plus hamza. Min?
Izhar.
Nurul. Min ayyamin. Again, tanween.
plus Hamza.
Hamza, idhar. Again, idhar. Min ayyamin ukhar. Right? Nur will apply.
Yeah.
Yes. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدِيَةٌ Pronunciation of the letter ta and thal. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْهُ Okay, ishba', okay? It means stretch the sound. يُطِيقُونَهُ Right? Ishba' it's called. Feed it, okay? With a stretch the sound. Fidyatun tanween plus ta. Again?
Ikhfa.
But, ikhfa with a heavy letter we have.
Heavy.
Fidyatun, this kind of ikhfa. Ta'amu miskeen. You can stop or you can continue. But continuing is?
Better.
Salah is here. Okay. Faman tatawwa. So many rules here. Faman tatawwa. Nun sakin plus ta.
Ikhfa.
Brothers and sisters, just remember the six letters in throat letters that you have to apply the rule of har, the six letters in yarmalun and idgham, and one letter with ba, the rest of them are what?
Ikhfa.
فَمَن تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا Again, ikhfa. فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ إِدْغَامٌ وَأَن Again, وَأَن تَسُومُوا إِخْفَى خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِدْغَامٌ إِن كُنْتُمْ All are ikhfa.
Yes.
So many rules. We applied, alhamdulillah. Practice the rules, inshallah. Okay. If you had any questions, you can ask us on Parse Today Radio, okay? Thank you so much. That was all from us. The explanations, inshallah, you must refer to the Tafsir book because they are important, okay? See you, inshallah. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Xavier International Schools Network. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parsetoday.ir/en.
This is IRIB English Radio.